Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
I'm pouring.
Little delayed there, are we?
Pouring requires my full attention.
You can't pour and talk at the same time.
I'm going.
How are you with walking in bubble gum?
I'm an engineer, not a juggler.
I'm just gonna tell.
Salsa's a juggler.
I'm just gonna tell everybody right now. That is the most enthusiasm you will get out of me for the entire show.
Took us like 5 tries to get him that enthusiastic.
I had to fluff him 4.5. Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode Tree Fitty.
Tree Fitty?
About Tree Fitty.
Episode Tree Fitty.
Oh, yay.
Holy shit, we've been doing this a long time.
Well, I mean, you have.
Holy shit, I've been doing this a long time.
I've been doing this, you know, nearly as close. Nearly as close.
Is that Glenn Close's sister?
Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm. You're in form, dude.
Am I?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of form, but you're in it.
That's a silhouette like... fucking Alfred Hitchcock is what it is. Exactly.
To no one's surprise, it's going to be one of those episodes.
Yeah.
You mean one of ours?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Renaissance Festival 2017 season for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival has ended.
Yay, boo.
Which means all of that shit that we've been talking about for the last 7 weeks is done. And we are tired.
Very.
Yeah, I could do another weekend.
Yeah, me too. In 45 weeks.
Guess what?
That's
I'm going to a weekend from now.
You're done.
Hooray!
I mean...
That's right. I will be doing a Renaissance Festival in New Glarus, Wisconsin. The weekend after... a gathering of rogues and ruffians. It
seems
is second weekend of October.
Correct. Story checks out.
I will be doing a few stage shows there, and we'll see how that goes. Fondazi will also be out there, so I will be traveling with my lovely wife.
Aww.
And you have a trailer.
Yes, we have a pop up camper. Which we got specifically for this.
I mean,
if you mean, then yes. Yes, it is exactly like that.
They're going to sleep together.
We are going to sleep so
literally.
Deeply.
Like actual sleep.
Make spoons.
Yes. Mm. Right? So yes, if you were in the Wisconsin area,
oh my god,
especially
it's putting away the silverware
in southern Wisconsin,
the sterling silverware.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Yes.
Oh, it's so cute.
That's funny. I'm sure there was rails here a second ago.
Nope. Liar. Anyway, so.
So yeah, if you're in the southern Wisconsin or northern Illinois area, the second weekend of October, come on down and see the show.
Yeah, do that thing.
Because I apparently don't know how to stop festivaling.
I don't think any of us do. I think we're just lucky that it does in fact fucking end.
And then after that, I've got a Halloween gig for the next 2 weekends. Nice. So we'll talk about that later. I really don't know. I won't. No. I actually will be gigging until the end of October.
Yeah, my October weekends are fully fucking booked. They have been for a month.
James.
Yeah.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking a Quantum Mechanic, which is Dr. Pepper, Cointreau, and hard cider.
Yep, so we'll find out if this is...
Wow. We're going to find out, because I had the dream of combining the cider and the Quantum.
We legitimately have no idea how this is going to turn out.
Right.
So. Well, it's got Dr. Pepper in it, so...
So it's
got
to be good, right?
There we go.
You got this? That's not bad.
Huh. That is a bit of all right.
Huh. Wow. That's way better than I expected it to be.
Huh.
That is a whole lot of bit of all right.
Holy shit.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen,
God damn.
The Quantum Mechanic
Oh,
not is bad, good.
Hmm. It's got a super complex. Front.
There are.
And
this
then,
has layers.
And then it just fades. It just evaporates.
Well, I feel like the cider hit me right away, and then the it never actually tasted like Dr. Pepper at any point.
No.
Yeah.
It was just like cider on the front and kind of that Cointreau citrus on the end.
Yeah.
And the Dr. Pepper, rather than giving it flavor per se, gave it gravity.
Huh. Yeah.
It gave it like a body.
We should write that down.
Yeah.
Somebody okay. I mean, we're not going write that to. Down.
All right. I'm getting a goddamn
sucker.
Pen. All right. So, all right.
Yes.
Whipped cream on senpai and...
Mm. Oh, that's good.
Mm. Yeah, do it.
Wow.
Dear listeners,
specifically, what cider did you use just out of...
Oh,
that's
very
the milk and honey?
That is the milk and honey cider from Fauna.
Yep, milk and honey is really good.
Yeah,
it is.
But, I mean, ciders are so disparate that it may be important...
Could be.
To have the right cider for that. So yeah, about what proportions?
I divided the single bottle evenly into thirds in these bar glasses.
So,
we're talking about a third of a bottle.
1 unit of Cointreau to about 3 units of cider and 5 units of Dr. Pepper, you'd say?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Right.
There we go.
Okay.
Works for me.
Damn. So roughly those proportions.
It's got kind of like a candy-like taste.
Yeah. It.
And I can't place what candy, but it's very familiar to me.
No, it's...
It's kind of bubblegummy.
Hmm.
Kind of?
But like the fake chew that you used to have.
Oh, yeah, Big League. Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because it's really, not like bubblegum. It's like very specifically that bubblegum.
I'm really digging the orange peel flavor on the roof of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's a bit of all right. All right. Yeah. So, now that we have our drinks, ladies and gentlemen, you should probably get one too and settle in.
Do it.
So, we are going to, as you can probably imagine, we are going to do a debriefing of the 2017 Minnesota Renaissance Festival season because, holy shit,
I really kind of don't want to. I want to tease it. Like,
all right.
All right, cool.
So,
I mean, I'm kidding, but I'm also not. This is amazing.
Oh, good, because I don't have anything else to talk about.
Oh, wait. Okay, so I can tease it. It's my birthday on Thursday.
Woo!
I'm going to be old.
Cool.
Yep. That's mm-hmm. pretty much what I've got, actually.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing the annual sake crawl?
We're not going to do a sake crawl.
Oh.
We are going to start at Kyoto, and there will be sake, and you may crawl if you so choose.
Mm.
But we will start at Kyoto and have our fill of sushi, sashimi, and all things.
Let's begin with S.
Sake, sushi, sashimi, bunch of roll. It'll be fun. And then we are going to head over to the Vegas Lounge and karaoke.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hot damn.
Oh, no.
Another Japanese tradition.
I mean, yes, I just wanted to shout a lot into a microphone, and I don't do stand-up anymore, so...
So for those of you who have not seen Aggressive Retzko...
Oh, yes!
It's a karaoke-singing tiny red panda that becomes furious with its coworkers and screams death metal about the things that they are doing that annoy her. And I feel like that's...
It's my animal
Jenna's
guide.
Spirit animal, yeah.
Animal so, guide, not spirit animal.
No?
No. Spirit animal is native appropriation.
Oh, fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Animal
right.
guide.
Mm-hmm. Okay, animal guide.
Yeah.
Like Fight Club.
Yes.
Yeah, good. All right.
Yeah. Yes, definitely, very much so. Yes. Good. I didn't even think of that. I just really wanted to go scream into a microphone.
Yeah.
And did
seems,
not put that part
right.
of it
yeah,
together.
That's completely yeah.
I see apt. Nothing wrong with this.
Right.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the plan for the evening.
Good.
I'm probably going to cab it. Because they're in different areas.
Mm-hmm. You can hitchhike, bus, or
yellow
cab it.
Cab it?
Moving right along.
Or maybe Uber. I haven't tried the Uber yet.
Footloose and fancy free.
Wow.
Getting there is half the fun. Come share it with me.
Yep.
Yeah. So I haven't done karaoke in like forever.
No.
Aside from the wedding, so.
I feel like I've done it twice in my life.
Oh, I used to do it like every week. Mm. I used to do karaoke with Suze Becker. That's how we met Chad Dutton, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, it's a weird,
seems right,
creepy bit, right?
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, so she and I used to go to the townhouse and we would sing karaoke. And we would sing Take Me or Leave Me from Rent.
Oh, wow.
I'm a black lesbian, apparently. I don't know. I didn't know.
Huh.
I do the part all right.
I mean...
Yeah.
As far as our listeners know, you are.
Yeah. Surprise. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I used to do it all the time, and I had, like, this just full list, but... It's been about 15 years since I've done it regularly, and my voice has changed, and I'm like, I should probably find some songs that are actually better attuned in my voice.
When you performed at at the wedding, you sang the...
I Will Survive.
Yeah, you sang the Gloria Gaynor
version, yep.
Yeah, version of I Will Survive, which I adore. I also love the cake.
Oh, version. I love the cake version.
Yes, they're both. It's good, and yeah, the cake version became kind of my super feels anthem last year. Yeah,
I should maybe sing the cake version because then it'll be birthday cake.
Cake. Oh.
Huh. See, this is what happens when I hang out with you and Kyle for an entire day of festival. You sons of bitches.
Not even going to jump in.
We're going to roll right into festival, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
I have just a fucking, like, Homeric epic.
Okay.
Homeric epic?
An Odyssey.
Ooh.
So I want you guys to go first.
I was about to roll into Friday. Did Festival Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that don't know, Festival Friday is a Renaissance festival on a weekday that's not a holiday. So most adults don't have off of work or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a reach out to schools, and a bunch of schools will have their kids field trip to the Renaissance festival, and we do a lot more educational stuff during the day in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's an opportunity to field trip at a Ren Faire and eat a turkey leg, I guess.
Those of you who are listening to the Will Bradshaw and Brianna Cecile episode will recognize that Fest Friday was what they were talking about when they said you don't go out in a puppet unless you're ready to, like, challenge
although Brianna hordes did.
Of shitty children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will Bradshaw chasing them down in the Shirley puppet.
Yes. I did not have my Signy ladies there with me for most of the day.
Hmm.
A lot of them showed up for, well, not a lot. Those that were able showed up for the one feast show that we had, which was the second feast time slot. And then, like, some of them had to leave again to take care of various things, whatever. But... Mm-hmm. So I had one show that day, and the rest of the day I got to play on the street, and I don't get to do that much, and I miss it, but I also don't, but I also do. You know what I mean?
I had super fun.
It was so much fun. So I started the day, I don't even remember how I started. Oh, I started the day in wings.
By waking up.
I woke up, I rolled out of my cot.
Mm-hmm.
No, I...
On the floor.
Ow. I started the actual festival day in my wings because kids love that shit. And so I did that for a while. And then I met up with Bryn, who was going to be filling in as a drummer for the one show that we had.
She blames you, by the way. She's good. Had those drum patterns stuck in her head since then.
Yeah, she messaged me yesterday and it was just like, who, me? She's like, this is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
And that's basically what we did, is we grabbed our drums, and we went to marshal a fight at front gate and then practice a drum rhythm so that she could hop in. And when we first got to front gate, Kyle and James and Aiden were on top of the gate. Oh, you want to tell this? You can tell this part.
No.
You don't want to tell this part?
No.
So we're standing there, like, prepping and waiting to marshal for this fight, which is a fantastic fight, by the way. Love Key and Nell doing Small Sword is... It makes me a little tingly. They're just real good.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Right. So as we're waiting, I don't remember how you guys got into it, but... I don't feel like you guys needed much of a lead anyway, so I'm pretty sure that's just incidental. The three of them started punning at me. At me.
Yes.
At me specifically. Yeah. Fuck you, at me.
Fuck you, at then, me.
Yeah, .com.
It's my new email address. Yes.
Good, yes. Pick up on that. Curse the French. Bork, 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 bork.
Bork, bork, bork. So they started punning at me, and then the fight started, and they stopped. And I was like, oh, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. They have stopped punning at me. And the fight happens, and the fight finishes. And then they picked up right where they left off.
Well, yeah, we didn't want to fuck up the show.
Pretty much. Yeah, like it was a very polite pause. For the pretty, but I feel like it was almost worse, because normally when you guys are punning, it's like, so I'm going to pun. Oh, ha, 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 aren't we clever? Well, now I am going to pun. Oh, ha, 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 ha. There's like this pause, where it's like right afterwards, it was like, pun, ha, ha, pun, ha, ha, pun, ha, ha.
So it was pretty rapid fire instead of pontification.
That was punctual. So it's like a fart. If you hold it in, and there's a lot more.
God damn it!
It is unleashed with greater fury. That's how that works. You act as if you've never ridden in an elevator before.
I have. I know how it goes. So anyway,
the problem is, you know what the problem is. Elevators are not built with fart cabinets.
That is right. True. That
can you use the little
primary?
Can you use the little emergency phone area just like as a backup? No.
Think about if you're stuck in an elevator, do you really want to get pink eye as well as like having to call for help and being trapped?
I mean,
at
that point, go for broke.
The problem that I have.
What
with
are
the
you?
Idea
what are you doing? Rubbing your eye on the phone anyway.
I'm trying to see who I'm talking to. So I watched a lot of Pee Wee when I was growing up. For better or worse. I have a feeling that the fart cabinet would get used for sex if it were in an elevator.
How do you
people are gross?
I mean, yeah, they are.
I don't trust them not to put their genitals in or on things. I just don't trust them.
You shouldn't.
Do they use the little phone door for sex now?
I don't know.
Well, then why would they use it? Then why would they use the fart cabinet any differently?
It reclines?
I'm not sure, but I feel like there's a difference. I don't know.
So anyway,
festival.
So they continued punning. Bryn and I went off to practice our drumming. Oh, we made money too. That was
nice.
Weird. Like, yeah, somebody just tipped us, and she's like, "Oh, we can't accept it." I'm like, "No, we can." She's like, "What?" I'm like, "Signe's got hat pass." She's like, "Oh, well, in that case," and just takes her hat off and puts it on the ground. I was like, "I didn't even think of it because we don't normally do a lot outside of our shows, but we do have hat pass in our contract." So
very good.
And we were, in fact, practicing Signe rhythms, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, then after that, I don't remember how I met up with you guys, but I did. Why? I don't even know why. But yeah, I ran into James and Kyle, and I was like, I got nobody else to take along with. And I think, was it pretty much right away, you were like, hey, fencing booth. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, because they had said, stop by, you know, see. And I wanted to check on a thing that was going to happen later.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we walked over to fence. On the way to fencing booth, the two of them continued to pun. And then they kept punning some more. And then after that, they shock you, they did some more puns.
Right.
And at one point, I accidentally punned.
Yep.
And then I cried.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot. Like, I screamed, no, and fell to the ground. And
patrons
like,
looked because they thought that you were in danger.
I mean,
right.
Too late, but yeah. It was pretty awful.
Yeah.
So then we went to the fencing booth, and I fenced them both.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we had four balloons instead of two.
Yeah, but not at the same time. And you won both bouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kyle didn't have a chance. Like, I just took all of his balloons.
Yep.
I took two of yours, I think.
No, you beat me pretty soundly, but I struck the first blow.
Okay.
Yeah, because they gave us ridiculous balloons.
I meant right off the bat, but yeah.
Yeah, they gave us super ridiculous balloons.
Yeah.
Which were ultra long, so they wound them across and, like, twisted off the ends, so that each one balloon was three balloons? Or
two balloons.
Two balloons? Two balloons.
Yeah, one off to the side, one across the head.
You would have, like, a little round balloon at the very end. They looked like sperm. So
they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just went for blood and gave you a good crack across the top of your head, like, right on your part line. And took the top two.
Yeah.
And then you just had two, like, little dangly balloons off to the side.
Like little floppy dog ears.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But then you just, like, that enraged you. That was apparently, like, the the fucking aggressive Retzko button. Because then the rage symbol appeared on your forehead, and I was defeated.
You were.
Soundly.
I beat them both. But as we were in line... In line to get suited up for this, one of them dropped a pun, and then...
Cole.
No, Cole picked up on it. I believe Kyle dropped something, and Cole picked it up.
Maybe. I think Kyle said something that had a math word in it, and then...
I thought it was a math pun, but then
Cole
picked
something up. God, it was...
Anyway, Cole picked it up.
Yeah.
And James was like, you don't want to do that. And Cole was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And so
never
then I was stuck in a line with the three of them doing math puns.
Yeah. And Kyle was like, she's going to kill both of us. You understand.
Yeah.
She's going to murder us. I'm not talking about balloons. She's going to murder
I'm going to stab you with this fencing foil. It'll be great.
Yeah.
But I did actually, one of my swings, the one to Kyle's left.
Yeah.
I did actually.
You rang his bell a little.
I actually hit him. And I think I would feel worse about it if I hadn't spent the entire morning listening to his goddamn motherfucking puns.
Yeah. No, it's legitimate. We knew that you were out for blood.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
we took that risk knowing.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I remember him saying as we were walking over, he's like, we're just warming her up. We're just getting her ready to murder us. That's all we're doing.
Yep.
Yep.
That was pretty much
well
it.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I spent a while longer with you guys. I think I spent about half the day with you guys before I had to go.
That seems about right. Yeah.
Go do my show. And then after that, I went back to the fencing booth and. I don't want to mention names, one of the people in charge of the fencing booth more or less had the day off. It was her day to go play because she's running shit the rest of the time.
Right.
And her her paramour is also in the booth.
Yeah, he's a ringmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So he was ringing. And she was drunk, and I sat next to her, and she's like, you need to go beat him up for me. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll go do that then. Like, I wasn't going to argue with her.
Right.
It's her fucking booth. She's in charge. So I go up, and I'm like, drunk boss lady says I've got to kick his ass. And they're like, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And then I did that, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
doesn't
surprised me, actually.
Yeah, I know you say that you're surprised, but I remember I was talking to you during the tournament and I said you fight with swords, and just because you're doing it in a practiced way with choreography doesn't mean that the steps are any different. It's just a difference in timing.
And yeah. How far out you let yourself extend.
That too.
Yeah.
Well, with the whip action of the saber.
That may actually help me somewhat, because I know how to do...
When you stop the sword, the tip whips.
I know how to attack somebody's five, and that's how you do it. So, and the five is the head. Mm-hmm. So, I guess that's all I'm doing, just at slightly different angles. But it still surprises me, because it's still a different arena.
Mm-hmm. It's still like, muscle memory, yeah. But you are very good at it. You're like a fierce little marmoset.
Yay.
Right.
I've always wanted to be a marmoset. Anyway.
I don't know if you were there for the thing that happened later.
Oh, I was. That's why I went over there in the first place. And then Bryn and I almost left. And then we saw things happening. This really, you should just talk about this.
Six fucking puppets show up. Yeah, so I had spent the day with Jenna and Kyle, and then Jenna wandered off to go do things that didn't involve wordplay.
Oh, God.
So, and we paired up with a couple of fearless folks who were just wandering around. Kayla. Who's Neela out there, the Irish bard with the tambourine crown. We paired up with Eric Pietro, the poet, and Beazle the bard, Aiden. And then we met up with Bree and Dan and Bryn and Kirky and a few other people, and we ended up peopling all six of the giant body puppets.
Bryn was with me.
Other Bryn.
Other Bryn.
Other Bryn, I believe.
I don't know that Bryn. I know another Bryn. You're probably correct.
I'm thinking...
Anyway.
I may be miscounting. Mm. Oh, no. That's right. Kayla. Kayla was taking over Queen Bee.
Okay.
Bryn usually, I think, does... Anyway. So, six body puppets and spotters. And yep. We left bright and early for that match, because we needed to get over to the fencing booth with the body puppets, and there were six of them, and as much of a crowd as you draw with just one, you draw six times as many people,
right?
With six of them, so we were getting stopped every fucking 3 feet for a photo, and we got over there, and Sparkles the Wizard and Shirley the Jester, Shirley you jest. Mm-hmm. They decided that they had a fucking gauntlet to throw down, that they had a feud, and then we figured out how to attach the fencing masks to them when I just picked up a mask that was one of the children's masks and put it over Bob, the little tiny jester at the end of the club that Shirley is carrying.
The bauble.
Thank you. Yeah, the jester's bauble. And which is what Bob is short for. That's right. Because I thought it would be cute.
Uh-huh.
And then Josh, who works at the fencing booth, one of the ringmasters, said, "Oh, yeah, just like that."
They had been trying to figure it out all night the night before.
Yeah, and I just went, "Boop." That's cute. Yep.
Yeah.
Works. So they taped him down. They taped another mask onto Sparkle's fingers. And I ballooned them, and then we took off the puppet hands and let them hold the swords in their real human hands. And then they fought, and it was a ferocious battle.
It was. It was also ridiculous.
It was motherfucking hilarious. Yeah.
Because it was like, I don't know if it was the visibility or what, but it looked like they were trying to attack each other's balloons, but also trying to attack the swords at the same time. It was weird. It was very bizarre. Right.
It was stupendous, though. Yeah. And Josh ringmastered the bout. He's one of their newest ringmasters, and he puts on a really good show.
Yeah, he does.
So I was very proud of him. He did very well. So the thing that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salsa.
Cool. I did not do that.
Mm-hmm. You didn't do Festival Friday.
Nope. I was not there. I had work, and regularly had work.
Work.
Yep. So we didn't do that. But then I was out there Saturday and Sunday, and a jolly good Saturday and Sunday had I. What?
Kahlua?
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to try this. I haven't had it.
All right,
you've never had it? Okay.
No.
Let me think. Where do I want to begin?
How about at the beginning?
Okay.
And then when you get to the end, stop.
So there was a big bang.
And, as the Earth's crust cooled.
And then skip forward, and there I am on Saturday.
Cool.
And
well done.
You know, I did my shows, and they were a lot of fun. And yeah, Saturday was just kind of another festival day, really, for me. I don't think really anything stands out, he said with a question mark.
Except for maybe how many fucking people there were.
There was a lot of people, yeah.
We apparently broke a long-standing record for attendance. Yes.
But Sunday was the day that really everything happened. For example, as I said, I believe I said last episode, I'm now retired from vilification tennis.
Yep.
Indeed.
That is a thing that is official as of a couple days ago. It's signed, sealed, delivered. Although if Pizpor can quit quitting, maybe I can quit quitting, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
later. So yeah, I'm all done, and it was a what a way to go.
Yeah.
Because Final Deville was a rockin' good time.
Holy
and
shit.
Lori and I were in the second round, which is our favorite round to perform in. Because second round is the round where things get weird.
Oh,
yeah.
First round is it you kind of have to stick to the format.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to establish in the audience's mind what it is that our show is. And so you need to stay pretty solid to the format. Yeah. And you're also kind of feeling out the audience and finding out what they're into. And third round, you have to return to the format so you can end, you know, again, back to where you're supposed to be. But second round is the round where you can kind of play with and bend the rules a little bit.
Sure.
That's the one where things go a little askew sometimes, and things can get a little ridiculous before we need to bring it back down to reality.
I look at
reality.
It as being like the way that people behave in a swimming pool, right? When you're just starting out, they give you a kickboard, you know, and it's sort of instructional and institutional, and it's, you know, just... Like, use this kickboard, paddle over to the other side.
And when you're an expert, you're in the Olympics and you're just going back and forth.
Right, yeah. And
where in the middle is when you're splashing around and
playing
with
it. Right, and you're, like, trying to make as big a wave at
your cannonballs. Yeah, I took your analogy and made it 10 times shorter.
That is what he does. Even in bed.
Yes. So that is absolutely what the second round is for me and Lori. And so we really enjoy playing that round. Because we get to do those weird shit. And we had a grand old time. I feel like I acquitted myself well and went out with a bang.
And then quitted yourself.
Yeah, and then quitted myself, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I went out with the proverbial blaze of glory. And I unloaded every single one of my trading cards. There's none left. I think I have like one or two sitting around in my house somewhere. But other than that, they're gone. They're done. Which is exactly how we want them to be.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was... It is the most nervous I have been before a Vil show since I think my first show ever. I was just a bundle of emotion. And it was still pretty raw, and it still wasn't hitting me that this was the last one.
And I remember when Tim announced it, and he was like, "This is going to be Salsa's final show." And people in the audience gasped, and a few of them went, "No!"
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some good like audience love.
Mm-hmm. I saw Salsa afterwards, and he was crying like a baby.
Oh yeah, no, I was quite emotional, and it was absolutely the right thing. It was the right decision for me to make. I do still enjoy doing Ville, but it did tie up part of my day, and it was difficult to schedule around. And mm-hmm. we do have such a really good cast, and I have been doing it for so long that I felt it was time to move on.
So now sure. you're going to come drum for Signy, right?
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a member of Signy now, so I might as well cash in on that.
Tertiary member.
Emphasis on the tersh.
You're a tersh.
Right, that is the joke.
Anyway, but... yeah, no, I don't know how much more there is to say about that other than that that I said my goodbyes and I made my peace with my decision and it's good.
Yeah.
And Vilification Tennis is and will always have a very important place in my heart. It is literally Vilification Tennis is literally the first time I stepped on stage at the Renaissance Festival.
Aww.
Like I was with Como Cottage at the time doing, you know, the reptile booth and stuff like that. I wasn't a performer out there yet. And so stepping on stage at Vilification Tennis was the first performance that I did out there. And the stuff that I learned doing that show and the stuff that I learned as far as stagecraft and stage presence and writing a joke and performing a joke and comedy theory and all of that stuff all came out of doing Vilification Tennis and talking to other vilifiers and having those discussions and really diving deep into it. It made me the performer I am today. There would be no Casimir without Vil. There would be no, you know, there would be no Salsa in Fearless without Vil. There would be no Salsa doing 90% of the shit that I do these
days. So this is really all Tim's Vil. Fault.
This is absolutely Tim's fault.
All right.
Oh, well,
this podcast would not exist without Vil. So I have a lot.
Consider it another way that he's rear-ended all of us.
Exactly.
Oh,
so this... Vil is something that will always have a special place in my heart, and I want to thank everybody... who over the years has been a cast member with me and taught me and et cetera, all of those words that you know what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So that's Vil, and I'm done.
It was really good to share a stage with you.
Mm-hmm. And now you two get to talk about it in the future, and I'll sit back and just go,
yeah.
Not my monkeys.
Back in my day.
Yep.
Like watching somebody you've broken up with, like the... talking to or overhearing a conversation with
God.
Their new paramour, and you're just like, oh my God, thank you.
no longer my responsibility.
I think the hardest test is going to be opening day next year at Fest.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be the true test of my emotions.
Right.
You know, how much I'm going to miss it or anything like that. But
I have a feeling that we'll see you occasionally in the audience.
Oh, I will absolutely wander
not
by.
Not if he's drumming for
probably, I was going to say, probably just wandering past on his way to a gig.
Oh, yeah, because I don't know how to not do
that's what. Yeah, I was going to say, that. What are you going to do with that? Half an hour, pack two shows
I'm
into
probably going to do another show
two
in there.
Two fucking shows
two of them. I've watched him do it before.
He's going to drum while he's swallowing a sword.
I am already going to be adding a third show next year. I'm already discussing that next year. Anyway,
will you at least like practice before going into it? Because I remember first weekend, and you're like, I'm dying, and I'm like, you're stupid. Stop doing so many fucking shows.
Yeah.
You did eventually warm up to it, but first weekend, the second one, even.
I was tired.
I mean, third weekend, too, but that was also a three-day weekend, so...
Yeah. Good things coming next year, and I already have so many ideas about differences and changes I want to make to the to the show and how to expand it and make it bigger and more dangerous and stupider.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, because right now, it's pretty safe. You're just putting into your body, into your internal chest cavity, something that is designed to kill you by being put into your chest cavity.
Yep.
Okay, just slowly running.
Next year, I will probably be placing against my torso things that hold drywall up.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that turns out. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. I really
keep
am.
Him around because he's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's why.
It's not because he's pretty or anything.
You know, most people.
No, they don't.
Are
no.
not idiots. Dangerous.
Also not accurate,
they look at the Sideshow Arts and they go, ugh.
Right.
And I look at the Sideshow Arts and I go, well, I haven't done that one yet.
Oh, I wonder how I can combine these.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I did that in my dating life for a while. I don't necessarily recommend it.
I'm combining these.
Yeah, I've
absolutely
never heard of missionary reverse cowgirl before.
With a sword in your throat.
Done it.
Right. I had a mystery date like that once.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right.
I mean, you would have to be stupid to eat fire, and you would have to be insane to swallow a sword. And you have to be a combination of those two to swallow a sword that's on fire and then have somebody do a fireball off of it. Because I'm all of those things.
On a scale of 1 to salsa, how dumb are you?
Yes, oh my god. If the salsa scale became a scale of how like stupid insane the idea is, I would be honored.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to salsa.
Yeah.
Start asking your friends that when they're like, I'm going to go juggle chainsaws. On a scale of 1 to salsa.
On a scale of 1 to salsa, that's like a 3.
Yeah.
I'll
dial 9-1.
So yeah, no, that was my Vill season, and
that was good.
And yeah, that's in the past officially for me now.
Yeah, so stop talking about it.
Cool. And then we did it rained all day Sunday, and so my regular shows I canceled.
Different from the regular show, which is cartoon.
Which what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The regular show?
That's the name of a show?
It's the name of an act. It's a cartoon.
Okay. Like The Daily Show?
No.
Not at all like The Daily
Show.
But it's the name of a show like The Daily Show.
No, it's the name itself.
Is the name, like
yes,
The Daily
the name
Show.
Of the show is the
it's
regular,
the regular show.
Show. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like The Daily
it's
Show is the name of
it's
the
not
show.
Like The Daily Show.
Oh my god,
show.
Not in theme, but in name. Jesus fucking Christ. So my assistant, Taffy, my lovely assistant,
always an assistant Taffy, never a Taffy.
Yes.
No.
Guy by the name of Jim Hughes, who is an amazing and wonderful man.
Yeah, I just got to meet him this year.
But he has had my back ever since I started this whole thing. And this is the thing that not a lot of people realize, but he doesn't take a dime.
Wow.
He refuses to take. And I have tried so many times to give him a cut of my tips, and he refuses. He flat out refuses to take any. Because he's like, you do all the work. And I'm like, yeah, but the show would not be a show without you. And he's like, well, you do all the stupid stuff. I just stand here and get to watch from the front row. So I was racking my brains about what to get him as a gift this year.
Yeah.
And I couldn't come up with anything. And so my show gets canceled, and so he's like, okay, and he starts wandering up the lane, and I go off and do something, and I wander up the lane about 5 or 10 minutes later, and I walk by, and I see him standing inside one of the art shops.
Sure.
Looking at the artwork. And so I wander up, and I start talking to him, and we start talking about the artwork, and it comes out that he's a sketch artist.
Oh.
He draws. He likes to draw. He and his brother both apparently are artists. But whereas his brother likes to work in color, he likes to work in black and white.
Why is that?
Because he's also colorblind. So we got to talking about colorblindness and drawing and a bunch of other stuff. And I walked away going, finally, I know what to get for him. So I got him one of these big leather-bound handmade paper sketchbooks.
Wow.
About notebook size pages, but about it's like 3 inches thick. It's a big old book, and I gave that to him. And this is like extremely intricate tooling on the leather binding, just like Celtic knotwork and all sorts of really cool scroll work and stuff like that, left him absolutely speechless.
I was going to say, he strikes me as the kind of dude who would cry if you gave him a gift like that.
He didn't actually cry. I was fully expecting him to, but he didn't actually cry. Aww. But he was pretty damn speechless. Mm.
He'll have to do better next time, Sals.
Jim is an absolute sweetheart. He is this crusty exterior, but he has a heart of gold. Mm-hmm. And he is truly one of the great people out there at the Renaissance Festival.
Absolutely.
And just willing to go with you.
Right.
Just like, there is no hesitation. There is no, like, as a character, he'll go, this is a bad idea. But he'll go with you. And you just go, we're going to do this thing. And he's like, all right. That's good. That's what we're doing now.
Yep.
So
I really enjoyed, I finally got to see you guys do work on the bridge and like fucking just sort of lean into and relax into the comedy that happens there. Mm-hmm. And Taffy is really funny.
He is the butt of every joke and he revels in that.
Yeah.
And
but the thing is, like, that makes him funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have 100% respect for comedians who are willing to be the loser of the argument.
And he's brilliant at it, and he can dish it as well as he takes it, and he's just got this wonderful outlook on life, and he's always happy. And then closing game.
On time, by the way.
I don't know. Closing game. I figured we'd just burn all the way through.
Sure. I feel
at this point for a while.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
Oh, and, well then, I have another.
Cool.
When you're
done. And then, so, Sunday, closing gate. Mm-hmm. Couple things there. Number one, for the first time since it began back in the early 90s, the Final Fire...
When dinosaurs roamed the Earth.
...did not happen.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks so badly.
It was the right decision to make. Yeah. Because go ahead.
So I showed up the same time Dan did for the pre-fire doodad,
mm-hmm.
And Adam's like, no fire. And Dan had just carried up all of the bottles of fuel in the Mickey's bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And he looks at Adam and he goes, you mean I drank all of these Mickey's for nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a moment. But Dan, it was totally the right call.
Dan was absolutely wrecked.
He was bummed about it.
Because he's been doing this way longer than I have.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, he's been doing it since the 90s.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. But if we had done a fireball, the wind would have blown it right in the king and queen's face.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
Like,
we don't
literally
actually want to kill the royalty.
No.
So the weather conditions were too dangerous. It was the right decision not to do it, but it still really sucks that it didn't happen.
So hard.
It sucks that the weather was bad, too bad for it. Not necessarily that it didn't happen. It was good that it didn't happen because the weather.
Yeah,
was
well,
bad.
Yep. Either however you want to write would that.
Think of
that. But what did happen at the Closing Gate show was Eric and Kirsten came up with a stupid little Closing Gate bit.
Oh, my God, yes.
That surprisingly worked amazingly well. Because when we were discussing it, it was like, this is going to be a stupid two-minute thing that we're going to get in there and out, and everybody's going to go, well, that was a thing that happened.
Yep.
It turned out to be great. Basically, the idea was, for the Closing Gate, we were going to do a little vignette or example of vilification tennis. And since Tim was the MC for the Closing Gate show...
Yeah, he couldn't.
I was going to step in as the judge. And we had Eric and your daughter...
Yes.
...Abella against James and Kirky.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got everybody out there, and we're like, okay, it's these teams against these teams, service. And, you know, they threw an insult, and the other team threw an insult. And it was that moment that the king stops us.
Mm.
And he says, what is this? This is a happy occasion, and you're insulting each other. No, we're not going to do this. We're going to be happy. We're going to be joyous. Instead of insulting each other, I want you to compliment each other.
And the audience reaction to that.
They lost their minds.
God.
They lost their minds. They were. It was so good. And so we kind of look at each other and go, I get. Do we have this?
I remember Kirky walking over to me, and she's like, "What the fuck?"
Service,
yeah.
And then they started throwing compliments at each other in the most vile way possible. Because they were not backhanded compliments; they were legit compliments. But they sounded...
Yeah, they were overhand.
Like, they were way overhand. And James... Yes, James, privy. Give us...
Privy.
Oh, yeah. So, it was...
He started this joke with...
You remind me of a privy.
At which point the audience went...
Whoa! Yeah, somebody off to my right, far back, went, what?
And they're like, how is he going to pull this one out? And the ending was...
People are lining up to spend time with you.
And everybody went, aww.
I mean, pause, still gross, but still.
Also, like, yes. And it was... and then you closed with...
You remind me of a puddle, surprisingly deep.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so...
I liked Jess's... you're so nice. You're like, people mistake you for Canadian.
Yes. Oh. That was so good.
So, Canadian listeners.
I almost fell off the bench on that one. That one was so good.
I was so proud.
And yes, I was standing on a bench because I was judging Bill.
Judge. Yeah.
It worked
so well.
I seriously, it went off way better than I thought it was going to. And
by the way, that's why when you appear before a judge, they can force you to do that by issuing a bench warrant.
Okay. I think everybody threw a couple jokes, and then we scored a point, and then that was it.
Yep.
But it was funny, and it was done in a couple minutes, and it worked very well.
I wanna say one thing about that. One of the things that I love about us as performers, but like the entire like village, the group, is that our king and queen have power because we say they have power.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think it's especially impressive when the supposedly fuck management show out at festival is like... Oh, but the king said so now we have to do this. I feel like it just adds that much more to their power.
Yeah.
And watching that, it was like, all right, way to go. Like, it just kind of adds to that, the illusion that we try to provide, you know, because they're nothing without us. But if we didn't bow, if we didn't scrape, if we didn't whatever, they'd just be people in pretty costumes.
Yeah. Well, and that's the secret about politics everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Ooh.
But it was really fun to watch vilification do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just to like help boost up their prestige by having the irreverent be reverent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Jenna, what do you got?
So I did a bunch of feast shows over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Surprise.
No.
You? Our go ahead, Salsa.
No, I
don't. Okay.
I'll wait.
Yeah. So anyway, and I had a couple of really good feasts. Our final feast was fucking spot on, amazing. Like everything perfect. The energy was high. We had people dancing in their seats. We had one woman who took her shirt off and decided she was gonna shimmy at us in her bra. But it wasn't in a way that was like, I'm going to come over there and like dance with you. It was like, I'm in my space, but I'm doing my thing, and here are my boobs.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, everybody was contained to their area, but, and just, I could not get them to stop cheering for us at the end. Like, I could not get them to stop. Like, I usually, my spiel is like, I say, we're Sigony, and then I say, thank you, have fun, blah, blah, blah. I got to Sigony. And that went, I just looked at the trumpeters. And I was like, just go. We're done. They don't want to hear me talk. Just go.
Yep. Yep.
It was the
Wait, that's the way to get you to stop talking is to just keep yelling at you?
Cheering for me, yes.
Yeah, yelling at you.
Nah, it's not the same. Trust me.
On a scale of one to salsa.
How stupid. Never mind.
How stupid do you think salsa is?
Salsa.
I mean, fair.
All right.
11. Yeah.
But one of the things that I get to do from time to time is play with Jim and Laszlo, which is just a moment of brilliance on my day whenever I get to do it. Like, the they're busy running things and trying to make sure the next act's ready and the food's ready and the everything else is set to go. But when they have a chance, they'll, you know, pop their heads in and see how we're doing. And, and if they happen to catch us in the middle, they'll, you know, add their cheering, whatever. And the way the show works is that first we do a choreographed piece, and then I talk a little bit, and then we do a solo piece. And for the lead-in to the solo piece, I say, would you like to see these ladies dance a little bit more? Maybe get some one-on-one time with them. Because it's solo work, right? Yeah. So I say one-on-one time. And, of course, audience reaction.
Right.
And my typical thing is to be like, no, I mean one dancer dancing at a time. You're gross. You're gross. You're just gross. And so I get to that point, maybe a little one-on-one time, and Jim is like, yeah. And I'm like, no, one dancer, you're gross. You're gross. Feastmaster, you're gross. And he goes, well, I don't know. I think I'm just a regular red-blooded American guy. And I go,
what?
And you're gross.
Right, yeah.
At which point, the audience lost their shit. And I was like, yep, all right, let's do this then.
Yep.
But I get to have those moments with those guys sometimes. Sure. And it's so much fun when I get to... Because Signe is amazing and wonderful, and I fucking love my group so hard. They're so incredible. It's a whole bunch of talented people. There's not, it's super super collaborative. We're super jokey. We do all of these things, and it all comes together in this rather cohesive piece. But then to also be able to play with other people outside of that and kind of bring them in for bits and pieces is just fantastic. So that was definitely a bright spot for me, because it's seriously, that's all I did on Saturday and Sunday was shows.
I'm so glad that you had Friday.
Me too.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed being able to do some street. I did a little bit of street on Saturday. Sunday I did not. And Sunday there were other things.
Sunday there wasn't a fucking street to do.
Well, there's also that. But I got a little bit more in on Saturday, but yeah, good. Friday, it was just great to go out there and play and attack people and balance wars all over the place. So many people balance at me now. It's fantastic. So yeah, that's that. That was the good part I wanted to say. Salsa, you were going to say something.
Yeah. Talking about feast.
Yeah.
Second feast on Sunday.
Was, by the way, the longest feast we have ever done.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It went over 3 hours.
Yeah, it was,
it's supposed
it was
to be ridiculous. A 2-hour feast.
I'm hanging out backstage waiting to go on, and Fondazzi goes in.
Yeah.
To do their thing. And so I'm like, whatever. I go inside the feast hall, and I'm just hanging out just inside the door watching them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so there is a trick, or I should say, there is a stunt known as the torchless blast. And what the torchless blast is you put fuel in your mouth, and then you stick a torch in your mouth,
'cause you're dumb.
And you light the fuel in your face on fire. So now you have burning fuel in your face. And you remove the torch, and now you just have your mouth full of burning fuel, and you do a fireball off of that.
It is an extremely stupid
and dangerous stunt.
Oh.
On a scale of 1 to salsa,
it's way beyond salsa.
It's like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to salsa, it's about a 9.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, that's... that.
This is legit.
There are...
Yeah, it seems like a terrible... fucking
it is one of the dumbest things you can do.
Yeah.
I think Possibly dumber than the human sacrifice, although that one was pretty stupid too.
But I'll
tell you about that one later.
So Fondazzi do this stunt during Feast.
Sure.
Brett and Adam do this. And the way they do it is they set up a joke wherein they're making Brett do the stunts. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they're like, "We've got this idea. We're gonna make you do this, and then you're gonna do this, and you're gonna do this." And Brett's like, "No, that's a terrible idea. No, right. That sounds really stupid." And they're like, "No, don't worry. If anything goes wrong, I'll be fine."
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they keep egging him on to do these more and more dangerous stunts. And so finally, Katie goes, "Okay, we're gonna do this stunt." And Brett's like, you know, finally Brett caves, and he's like, "Okay, but only if Adam does it with me." And then Adam's turn to go, "No, this is a bad idea." And now Katie is egging him on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And eventually, Brett and Adam do this torches blast. So I'm hanging out in the doorway, and Adam goes, "No, you know, that's a bad idea." And they're like, no, seriously, if anything goes wrong, I'll be fine. And Adam goes, "Okay. But only if Casimir the Hungry does it too."
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
was this before or after you went on?
This is before I went on.
That's extra dumb.
This is before I went on. So I'm just hanging out there, and they're like, "Casimir's going to do this with us too." And I'm like, "What?" And of course, I can't say no now.
Well,
no.
Because I've just been called out.
Yeah, they fucking pimped you hard.
On a scale of one to salsa.
Yeah.
You are salsa.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I went ahead and did it.
Fuck.
Oh, my God.
Side note, I haven't done that stunt since last year at Fest, actually.
Yeah.
So they're like, "We're going to do this." And I was like, "All right." So I go out, and the three of us do a torch to Saul at the same time. And it was good. It was a lot of fun. Side note, do you know how difficult it is to swallow a sword when you have boom juice in your throat?
I'm gonna say,
yeah, that's.
I was sitting backstage hacking up, you know, oil, and now I'm like, oh, I gotta swallow something soon here. So yeah,
you think that make it just slide down easier? Mm. Really,
it makes it hard to breathe, is what it does.
No, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the thing that happened.
Feast does stupid things to people.
Katie got backstage.
Katie got back.
Back
well,
to the.
Also that.
They got back to their stage, and Katie goes up to my wife and just shakes her head. She goes, "I may have thrown salsa under the bus a little bit there."
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
She's the one who pointed out to Adam that I was standing there. So, yeah.
And Raiderly's all, "Why are you trying to kill my husband?" He's already trying to kill himself.
Nah.
You don't need to help. Please stop. James, any other stories for you?
Lots.
Yeah, all right. One more?
Yeah, let's go through it.
Okay.
We're at a little over an hour. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I was going to say, I was never knighted as a child.
Okay.
I had been out to the Renaissance Festival several times, but I had never been knighted. I had wanted to be knighted, because that's...
Is that a thing?
A thing, yeah, for me, I guess. Thing. You know.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And
What is this thing?
King's knighting?
Yeah, you go through a certain number of things, quests, whatever, or you don't, I don't know. Yeah. But your parents vouch for you, they bring you to the knighting ceremony.
Oh,
my. You do a little ceremony... do what the king tells you to do, and then
you
king...
say an oath to always be a good person and help little old ladies across the street.
Basically, and then you become... then you get knighted by the king. You get a little certificate, and he puts a paper crown on your head.
Okay,
yeah, not a huge deal, but I had always been sad that I didn't do that. So this season was my first and only knighting ceremony.
Aw.
And I did that in full armor and made people laugh.
That's fantastic.
Because he said, "All right, now stand on one leg," and like he put me through extra paces for this.
Naturally.
Right. And he said, "Stand on one leg and spin in a circle." So I kept doing it and going faster until he was like, "All right, I'm going to throw up. You have to stop. You have to stop now." Okay, now now kneel down. And I sort of toppled a little bit and then whoop, down onto the little cushion thing. And then I was knighted. And it was good. I liked it. There was that. Getting to spend time with Ted. Ted came back for one day. And he armored up.
I only saw him briefly, and he was in the armor, and that was, like, he was on his way out, because, goddamn, that guy.
He has spent enough time in that armor that he knows what he's doing in it, and I don't yet. I plan to figure it out, but he really is great at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honestly, I really like you as the squire.
I really like me as the squire too.
I feel honestly, I'm
happy being the squire. Right. But I want to make sure that it's not just that I've had a lot more time to get comfortable, because I remember like the feeling that I have in the armor at last weekend. Sunday was my last day in the armor for the season. I want to make sure that that feeling, because of how close it is to when I was just starting as a squire, that it's not just a matter of, you know, I've had, out of the 7 weekends, like 4 or 5 of them were squire only. I was only in that armor for maybe 6 hours. And that's not really enough to know whether
Indeed.
I like it or not.
Right.
So, I plan on fleshing it out.
My personal opinion on it is I like you as the squire better.
I do too.
I'm not saying don't pursue the knight, obviously.
Also,
people
recognize me as also squire.
Well, but I feel like your strength is in your words. You are so much more of a talker than a physical comedian.
Maybe, yeah. I would like to improve that.
No, and by all means, keep stretching that.
Sure.
Do. I'm just, and this is, again, just my personal opinion, is I feel like you've got the gab more so than that. Because you really need to be a mime to be in that armor.
Yeah, and I don't have a ton of practice with that. I've done silent
and
character
you
things
are
before,
a talker. But, I don't know if anybody listening to this has noticed that.
Yeah, they may.
But
my God.
And when you launch into puns and you launch into the wacky whatever it is, you know, that's, you really shine.
It allows me to interact back in a way that I haven't learned to do in armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you really should look into doing mime or something like that to really learn how to be more emotive physically.
Sure. I would like that very much. That's going to be, because
that's something that Ted can actually absolutely do, is he can speak sentences with his body.
Yeah. He was, that's why I say, like, I saw him in the armor and I was like, no wonder people love Sir Tedward.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that part of it was just that he's just a great guy. But then the other thing is that he is incredibly talented as a silent character and as that character very specifically. So I had, we had hit it super hard this last weekend. We had done Friday and then Saturday. I actually picked up an extra, like, 4,000 or 5,000 steps on Saturday before having to walk out to the participant lot. And then after that, I picked up an extra probably good 6 miles that day.
Wow.
So just following Ted.
Yeah.
And horse-assing around with Kyle. And it was fantastic. But then come Sunday when it's gray and rainy and that kind of stuff, I got done with Ville. Kyle and I had kind of a quiet morning. I was the knight. We fucked around a little bit. And then I got changed, went and did Ville, and Kyle came up to me after vilification and he's like, I think I'm done. I think I'm done, with Fest for the season. Okay. Like I don't have anything left. I gave it all yesterday. More than all yesterday and
Friday.
Like I would have something left if it were a sunny day and we had a bunch of patrons to interact with and, you know, that kind of thing, but I just don't have anything. Yeah. Okay. So I said, let's do some self-care, that kind of stuff. We're gonna I'm gonna get changed into the squire stuff. We're going to hit the lanes, get some food, go to the Irish cottage, hang up my cloak, to dry next to the fire, yeah, listen to a couple of stories, tell a couple of stories, tell a couple of jokes, that kind of thing. And then, you know, maybe we'll go over to McGregor Games and chat with, you know, the proprietor who we've had on
the unicorn winner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Congratulations. So we went and did those things, and he was kind of like, yeah, all right, we'll go over to McGregor's. Okay, it wasn't that he didn't want to, it's just that he was hollowed out.
He's empty.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I had very little left myself. By that time, the ground was trying to fucking bring us down like we're Artax. Yeah.
Literally,
it was so fucking slippery.
like there's a small boy dragging the reins and screaming our name as we sink into the swamp of misery. So, it was a fucking hard, energyless day. Yeah. But then we are approached by two men who ask to hire us as squires. And the first thing that they ask is if they can hire us.
Like movies about gladiators.
Do you ever run backward through a cornfield?
Yes.
Have you ever been to a Turkish prison?
Yes.
He was speaking for both of them. He's like, hey, can we hire you guys to hold steins for the stein lifting competition? And we're like, no, that's cheating, right? That's not what you do. Come on.
Right.
Right. And they're like, okay, well, can we hire you guys to, I don't know, harass those two girls? And we're like, whoa, do you even know them? Because that's not cool.
Right.
Right. And they were like, no, we totally know them. And we're like, so if we ask them, they will know your names. And they're like, they might pretend that they don't. They definitely do. And we came here with them. They're, you know, and we're like, all right, you know, Kyle tried to blow them off, and they were like, no, how much is it to just rent you guys to tell them jokes? And we're like, oh, shit. And Kyle goes, $1 a minute.
Yes.
And they take out $30 fucking dollars.
Yes.
And hand us a 20 and a 10. Yes. Okay. And we're like, all right, but if shit goes sideways, we keep it, and there's no harm, no foul. And they're like, yeah, whatever, just go do, yeah. So we go up to these two girls, and I start telling the sandwich story, right? And Kyle's chipping in and that kind of stuff. And the thing is, like, they're, the two women, they're like, oh, God, they paid them. Oh, God, oh, no, right. But they're also, like, contributing to the story. Okay. So I guess at that point it was a hero sandwich, right? Because of this thing. And like, they're obviously involving themselves in the shenanigans.
Okay.
And right. Because if it was not okay, we would have broken off. And
right.
Like, no, nope. So we, I continue telling the sandwich story, and they start doing this thing, which is that they walk just ahead of us, right? And they're, like, leading us through an obstacle course. But one of our hats would blow off. My hat blew off my head a couple of times, and I would stop to pick it up, and they would stop and wait for us. So it wasn't... Okay. They're not trying to get away. They're just trying to make it shitty for us.
They're just trying to fuck with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I deeply appreciate this. So, we're doing this, and the guys are trailing after us, cackling madly, but also being forced to listen to this fucking story. So, you know, who's the winner? Yeah.
No one.
Right.
No one.
Destruction. So when, at some point, the girls look at each other, and they just split. So we now have two groups, and each guy follows the girl that he came in with. And Kyle and I, we register no communication. We just cross paths, and each of us follows one.
Yes.
And we continue. I finish the sandwich story somewhere around the games booth, close to Vegetable Justice, but not at Vegetable Justice. I still have 6 minutes to 8 minutes on my clock. Right.
Right.
In the meantime, Kyle, instead of continuing the sandwich story, leaves it off halfway, right? Which is deeply unsatisfying. And he starts the Triangle Lake story because
oh my
he's
God.
A monster. All right. So he's doing this. he's trailing after them, and they end up over toward Folkestone Welly, right? And as the boyfriend goes into the Folkestone beer hall, the girlfriend turns and is like, okay, wait, just, hold on. Just wait. Can I pay you to stop? Right? And Kyle's like, yeah, of course you can. Right.
Yeah.
And she goes, how much? And he goes, at least $2 more than he paid me to do it. And she goes, can you tell me how much that is? And he says, no. Client confidentiality, right? It's being what it is, right? So he says, you pick a number and I'll tell you whether you've met that or whether you need to go higher. And she says, okay, I have $20 on me. And he just points up and she goes, that's all I have.
Oh my
and
God.
He shrugs and she goes, all right, go ahead. Right? So they head back toward the cottage, right? Christ. And he's finishing this story that entire way. But he ends up with, again, 6 to 8 minutes left on his meter,
right,
that he has to fulfill for the contract that we've been been commissioned for. So
yes.
Back at Vegetable Justice, oh, right? I finished telling the sandwich story. She's like, okay, all right, that was all right. That was decent. Okay, it's a terrible joke, and you're a monster, but it was good.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Sure.
So she sits down at Vegetable Justice. I tell them a joke, and the Vegetable Justice guy looks over and sees an idiot in a straw hat with a sign. And he goes, oh, an easy mark. And he tries to get my attention, and I tell him to veer off, right? I'm like, no, man, you don't want this. Just fucking leave me alone. I don't tell him to leave me alone, but I'm like, hey, I do this. You don't...
Right.
Yesterday was my vill round.
Right.
You don't want this. Which is like being a fucking Thai kickboxing instructor and having somebody try to mug you in an alleyway.
Right.
And you're like, no, please don't.
Please don't.
Right.
You're so only going to embarrass everybody.
He says, how many leprechauns did you have to go down on in order to get that beard? And I said, your mother and father. And it went up from there.
Nice. Right?
Started there, got worse. I ended it with, blah, blah, blah. Your dick is so tiny. And it wasn't... none of these were like vil insults at all. It was just blah, blah, blah. Your dick is tiny. And his audience, the audience he's been collecting, is now laughing at him. And he picks someone else. He does. He veers off.
Mm-hmm.
And change course. I am a lighthouse. And so when he does this, right, I turn toward the two people and I'm like, did you get your money's worth? And they said, absolutely. So I head back to the cottage, meet up with Kyle. Kyle has just fulfilled his contract and gotten a $5 revenge commission, which was that. And he's like, all right, if anyone has any problem with this, like, because the girlfriend was like, I have $5 to give you for this. And just please, like, smack his ass or something. And he's like, if he has any problem with this, this is on you. You understand. This is not on me. This is 100% you and your loved one deciding this. Okay. It's like the stocks.
Right.
And so then he walks over to the guy, and because he was like, the $5 is way more than like a smack on the ass. So he dips his hand into the mud, his left hand into the mud. He reaches over, shakes the guy's hand with the right, and he's like, contract fulfilled? And the guy's like, yeah. And he goes, oh, what's that over there? Wham! Full, like, cheek print, Godzilla footprint on the guy's ass. And by the time I get there, they're all laughing and hugging, and then they hug me, and they're all laughing. And we saw him like two or three more times, and he still had that fucking print on his
Yes.
So we're walking away, and Kyle's like, that saved the day. That was everything. Awesome. That was perfect.
Excellent.
Yeah. I think we just figured out a new way to make money. And I'm like, oh, God, no. Oh,
put that in your book for next year. All right.
Is it break time?
Yeah, we should take a break.
Oh, dear God.
And then we will come back with our usual outro. What outro?
The outro.
The outro.
The outro.
You're an old show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. Back, I'm Salsa.
Yay.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
That's a happy thing.
Yay.
We're all here and we are all drinking, and we are coming to ear holes. And you know what else makes us very happy?
I have an idea.
What makes us very happy is after a very, very long and exhausting weekend at the Renaissance Festival, leaving everything you have out there in the streets, and then. Like not just everything you've got, but also, like, on credit for the next couple days, leaving all of that on the streets as well. Like, pouring your heart and your soul and your blood and your sweat and your tears into entertaining people, and then waking up the next morning and having a cup of coffee.
Fuck yes.
And what better coffee than True Stone Coffee?
None
whatsoever.
At all.
So what you should do
none more coffee.
Is whether you are the type of person who has drained their very life essence and needs to rejuvenate that, or if you're just the kind of person who needs a little bit of pick-me-up in the morning to get going, or if you're the kind of person who just appreciates a good cup of coffee, what you want to do is you need to go to TrueStoneCoffee.com, and you should order yourself some coffee, and it is freshly roasted coffee beans that will get sent right to your doorstep. You will not find fresher coffee at home anywhere.
Just indeed.
End of story, bar none. It won't happen. Unless you live in Colombia and are picking the bean and roasting it and then drinking it. Like, that's the only way to get...
snorting cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically the only way to get more fresh coffee than this. And
and why go to all that trouble?
Why go to all that trouble when you can just have it sent to your door? Indeed. And not just coffee, but you can get coffee beans, you can get cold press, you can get beautiful merchandise, you can get... True Stone tulip glass, very comfy t-shirts. Yes, these are not just the little cheap, super thin things. These are very comfy t-shirts. And you can get that all delivered to your door. And the best part is, if you use the promo code...
Apropos.
It's spelled apropos.
Then you get 10% off of your order. And you know what you can do with that 10% off of your order? You can or order a movie off of Amazon Prime, or get your wife or husband, or, you know, significant other, or whoever you are, a little bit of a box of chocolates or something, and say, hey, you know what? I appreciate you and everything you do, and I'm in a good mood now because I have coffee in me, and so you should be in a good mood too. So here's a treat for you. I forgot where I was going with this.
Order coffee.
Order coffee.
Order True Stone.
Order True Stone.
Yeah.
Do that thing.
Hey, everybody.
What?
Yeah.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
For those that do not know, a Fast Five is what you do is somebody, that could be you, sends us two emails. The first one has five A or B choices in them. What do those choices mean? We do not know. All we have are the choices. And then after we decide which ones we like the best based on what we guess you think they mean, Then we open up the second email and find out what your actual context for those answers was. And we figure out if we like our answers or if we want to change them. So, this week, we are coming...
Whoa!
When we sneeze. We're coming when we sneeze.
When we say Fast Five, we mean fast. Fast like a sneeze.
This week, our Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Mudstuffin.
Ooh, yay, Mud.
And I do want to say, please send in your Fast Fives, because after today, we only have one left.
Uh-oh.
And so we really need you to get those sent in. If you do not... If you're sitting there thinking, well, I just got to make it perfect, fuck it. These are nonsense. Just send them in. All right. All right. Question number one.
Question number one.
Question.
Sip.
Number one.
Or slam.
Ooh.
Oh, sip.
Shot of whiskey? Depends on the whiskey.
Right.
Or maybe it's water. I'm still in fest mode, I guess.
I'm guessing booze, just because...
Booze? Yeah. All right.
And there are very few cocktails that I slam.
Yeah.
Right.
Sip.
That's why I went
sip. I think the only one I slam is an Irish car bomb. Other than that, I really don't slam...
Sake bombs?
Also. It depends on the cider. I might slam a cider at the end of a hot day.
Yeah. Hmm. Usually I'm a
cheap
I'm a
beer I will slam.
Because otherwise, how are you going to get through it?
Drink it.
You make a South Dakota martini.
What's a South Dakota martini?
It's cheap beer with olives in it.
See, I discovered long enough ago that if the option is cheap beer or nothing, I'm completely okay with nothing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly,
I am not so desperate to have a beer that I will settle for something that isn't good.
Nah, I wouldn't usually either, but I do enjoy a cheap beer with olives. Mm-hmm. I do actually enjoy
it. You mean like Molly?
If you legitimately...
I would have a beer with
if
olives.
If you legitimately enjoy that, by all means, go ahead. But Matt and I would have these conversations where Matt would have these really crappy beers because it was the only thing he could afford.
Uh-uh.
And I was just like,
no,
but they're crappy. And he's like, but it's beer. And I was like, but it doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
get me a good beer.
For him, it was more
important
to have a beer. And for me, it was way more important to enjoy what I was drinking.
Hmm. Can I just not have a beer?
Yes. Good absolutely. Or cider. Anyway, so I think we're all going with sip.
Sip.
Okay. Question number two. Stiff or fruity?
Stiff. Oh, wait. Shit.
Pourquoi peladieu?
Right?
I think most of the time I prefer a stiff drink, but every so often I'm in that mood for a.
It really does depend on the
mood. Tomato is a fruit, so Bloody Mary, fruity.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
No, it's like a good tiki drink. I have a soft spot in my heart for a tiki drink.
Doctor Tiki, Doctor
Tiki, tiki drinks. Like throw in every fruit juice under the sun into some rum, and I'm good.
Yeah.
I do enjoy a good tiki drink, but I think most of the time I like a stiff drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Bloody Mary is a fruit juice cocktail.
It is.
I don't... It's really hard for me. It's stiff.
Giggity.
Womp womp. Yeah, I'm conflicted. It so much depends on my mood and what it is that I'm drinking. I mean, I like a vodka cranberry. Is that stiff or is that fruity?
I'm gonna call that a stiff.
I'm gonna say it's a little fruity.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
because primarily what you're tasting is cranberry.
It depends on who pours it.
Oh, yeah. And what kind of vodka?
I consider
talking about
cranberry.
Like, we're talking about diesel.
I consider cranberry to be similar to grenadine.
Oh.
Where it's just an accent flavor as opposed to an ingredient. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It brings out the flavor of the booze.
I think under Salsa's definition, I'm going to say stiff. Under James's definition, I'm going to say fruity.
Okay.
Under my definition, it's probably fruity.
Okay. Yeah.
Question number three. Handful or a piece at a time? I'm going...
Bar nuts. Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Popcorn, candies.
Handful.
Handful.
I think handful.
I usually... Such a fucking swine about that stuff. I'll just grab a handful and then like...
So, if I'm eating like M&M's, like I grab a handful, but then like...
Pick them one at a time. That would be one at a time.
This is dumb. No, I pick them two at a time. So
they don't die alone?
By color.
Oh.
Because then they're like little eyes and you're eating...
See, when I...
That's why I'm not allowed to have Reese's Pieces.
This is my... Okay, I'm gonna top your... This is silly. I'm going to top this.
No, are you really?
I also eat them in pairs. And I specifically put one on each side of my mouth.
Mm. Yep.
Because I like to have both sides of my mouth get equal shares of the flavor.
Aw.
That's, yeah. Are we going... So you're going piece at a time?
Which M&M is your favorite? The gray ones?
The M's are my favorite. Not the and M's. Fuck those ones. I like the M's. So we're all going handful?
Yeah. Okay. I believe so. Yeah.
Question number four. Plain or sweet?
Oh, tea? Shit.
Oh,
tea, sweet. Yeah.
Gotta go sweet if it's tea.
If it's tea, I go unsweetened. Most of the time, like at sushi restaurants, I'll just get the tea and I won't put fucking anything in it.
There are few things that I enjoy more on a hot day than a southern sweet tea.
Oh.
You make a strong point.
I love raspberry mint, but it's got to be sweetened.
Mm.
Hmm.
Also, I make my own raspberry mint tea.
Gross.
It's delicious and delightful. What do you think? You're gross. You're gross. Just like Jim Cunningham, you are gross.
No, explain this one. What do you mean?
Because she wasn't like, I brew it. Yeah. She was like, I make it.
Yeah, explain.
So, how? I don't know which hole it comes out of,
right.
But I don't want it after it's been through that process.
Okay, well, explain how that happens.
Okay. When a mommy mint and a daddy raspberry love each other very much.
Do they have to love each other or they just want to be really horny?
Oh my God, sidetrack. Ever since the medication, I've been so incredibly horny.
High five.
Even you guys.
Oh, hey.
That's been a while, so yeah. Yeah. And
so,
I looked at my unused.
Gentlemen.
I looked at my unused package of condoms at the end of Fest and I was like, well, I mean, that was probably for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Get you some.
But not nearly as fun.
Loving in a consensual way.
Well.
Get you
or
some.
At least consensual.
Ladies? She's available.
Mm, yeah, I am.
So.
Question number five. Anyway. Share or individual servings?
Sunny.
I knew that.
Individual servings.
Share.
Share.
All right.
Joy is better when you spread it around.
Fuck that. Give me mine.
Yeah.
All right. And our context, question number one, sip or slam? How do you handle a shot of whiskey given to you?
Holy shit!
Sip it.
And again, it really depends on what kind, but
yeah,
more often than not, I will sip it.
I'm going to savor that. You don't slam.
No. Yeah, I don't buy shitty whiskey. I can't do it.
I drink shitty whiskey when it is a part of a group thing.
It says,
and at that point,
it says handed to you. Given to you. When it is given to you.
So you have no choice in the matter.
Somebody hands you a glass. Do you shoot it or do you sip it?
People we know who are named for doing this have brought us scotch that is pretty amazing.
Yep. And you sip
it. I'm going to say sip.
All right.
I'm going to say sip.
Jenna?
I will probably stick with sip.
All right. CDS, question number two. Stiff or fruity, do you like a straight shot or a fruit drink?
Fruit drink.
I like the in-between. It really depends, it depends on what it is. It depends on my mood,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, sipping a scotch that is not fruity, and I dearly enjoy it. But yeah, vodka cranberries. So you decide if that's fruity or stiff.
I do not want a big, fruity, flavorful drink with dinner. I want something that's just...
That's a dessert.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas if I'm just going out drinking with my friends and partying, bring on the tikis. Bring on the Mai Tais. Yeah. Bring on the Singapore Slings. Bring on the... Yeah.
I want the kind of drink that takes a golf umbrella.
Yeah. Question number three.
God damn.
Handful or a piece at a time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you eat popcorn at the movies?
Yep.
Handful.
Handful.
Yeah, handful. Yep. I'm slovenly.
Nailed when it. Comes to that. Question number four. Plain or sweet? Do you like popcorn? Do you like popcorn plain, or do you mix candy into it during the movie?
I've never
mixed popcorn candy into it.
I love mixing candy. I have into not put popcorn.
No, plain.
Here's the deal. Yeah. Showplace Icon.
Yeah.
Has bacon popcorn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they do. Oh my god!
It doesn't ask if you like that. It says, do you mix candy in it during the movie?
Although I think they also drizzle something sweet on it, like not like a maple syrup, but maybe.
Yeah.
But something of that nature.
Yeah.
And it is.
Like a liquid caramel.
I enjoy flavorful popcorns, but that's not the question.
Nope. No, I.
Yeah, I don't use candy.
I got in the habit of mixing candy in with popcorn. I'm not allowed to have Reese's Pieces in a movie theater anymore. It's a story, and we'll wait till next week.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right. I cannot watch a movie without Reese's Pieces. I must have my Reese's Pieces.
So, yeah.
Junior mints are dairy free.
Oh,
they are.
Question number five. Share or individual servings? Do you prefer to share a big bucket of popcorn or have your own bucket?
Oh, no,
I gotta go share.
Good group experience.
Yeah, I gotta go share.
Gotta share.
Wonderful, because then you have that moment. You're like, hey, do you want? And then they're like, no more.
I mean, if you stick your penis in like the bottom of your own bucket, then you're just playing with yourself.
I mean, that's, well, you know what your results will be.
I mean, who doesn't stick their penis in the box, though?
Don't.
Ladies and gentlemen,
after.
That has been our Fast Five. If you would like to send in your Fast Five, and please do, you can send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first email will be the context, just the question, the A or B choices, and the second one will be the A or B choices with the context. And if you have never sent them in before, we will obviously bump you up to the top of the queue, and if you manage to somehow get us a physical copy, those will go even higher up on the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Apropos of Nothing podcast. We are finally done with the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, and so maybe next week we will start talking about things that are not fest-related, but don't count. We might still touch on it a little bit.
But there are things I haven't talked about.
We'll finally start talking about other things like Halloween or something.
I'll talk about my birthday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else to plug? Yay.
Oh, yes. One thing. More information about the Adventures in Cardboard stuff.
Yes.
It is a paid event, but that pay goes toward charity. It's a charity collection event. So if you go to Adventures in Cardboard this weekend, it is adventuresincardboard.com.
Next weekend.
Yeah, the 15th. From 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., you make stuff, and then you play with that. It's LARPing with weapons and armor and stuff that you build yourself. And then you get to take it home. And it's a tax write-off because it's a donation. And you are basically helping to fund Adventures in Cardboard for little kids. So if you feel generous and scrammy, go make some shit and hit people with it.
Where can they go to register for that?
Adventuresincardboard.com.
Perfect.
Jenna?
I ain't got shit all except it's my birthday.
Woo!
That's all I got.
Okay. Not this coming Friday or Saturday and Sunday, but the Saturday and Sunday after that, October 14th and 15th, I will be at A Gathering of Rogues and Ruffians, a Renaissance festival in New Glarus, Wisconsin.
Have heard of them.
It's just a one-weekend festival. Apparently a beautiful little site. I'm really looking forward to entertaining many people there. And then the following weekends after that, Friday the 20th, Saturday the 21st, Friday the 27th, Saturday the 28th, jeez, is Bump in the Night. That ooh, is the fundraiser Halloween event put on by the Braden Masonic Lodge in Minneapolis. It is basically a one-stop shop. They have not one, not two, but three different puzzle rooms. You can do one of them, or you can do all of them, or as many as you want to. And they will also have a dark carnival style thing going on, which is going to be featuring one Casimir the Hungry. And I will be doing sword swallowing and other stupid things and telling riddles and various other things. And there will be concessions and all sorts of other.
And then you can find out how you eat happening. Popcorn.
And
there will be concessions, like people will be.
Yes, people will be conceding that I am awesome.
Thank you.
And that is going to be at the Braden Masonic Lodge in Minneapolis. And I really, really hope that a lot of people go to that and have a good time, because it does sound like a really good time. That is all I have at the moment. So we are going to get out of your ear holes for another week. Go back to sleep, because we are still in recovery mode right here.
We love you.
And eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.